Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we are concluding this week's look at personality. And I thought it might be good if we wrap it up with a look at marriage and personality. All right, any of you married? How long have you been married? Those of you who are newlyweds, what kind of impact do you and your spouse have on each other? Those of you who have been married for 5 years, would you say, even if you have to think back on it, that you and or your spouse has impacted the other's personality? Those of you who have been living together 15 years, would you say that you and your spouse has affected the other's personality? Or even if both of you have not affected the other's personality, has one of you impacted the other's personality? Whether it was you impacting your spouse's personality or your spouse affecting your personality. What would you suppose that a lot of the experts say about marriage and personality? That it does or does not have an impact on the personality of the spouses, of the two people who are married to each other. All right, we're going to be taking a look at the big five personality traits. Some people say personality factors that we've talked about earlier this week previously. And so this is where, and of course, we're going to tie all of that into with what we have to do with this whole issue of marriage and personality. So here comes what I did not tell you was coming, your pop quiz. That's right. I hope you're ready. If you need to, go ahead and do what you need to do to get that blood flowing real good, so you get the oxygen flowing real good, so your brain works real good. Yeah, maybe do a few jumping jacks, maybe do a few squats, maybe four or five push-ups, get that blood and oxygen going. We're going to ask about the big five personality traits. So the first part of the quiz works like this. I want you to just go from your memory bank, just pull this out of your memory bank and tell us what the big five personality factors are. What are the big five personality factors? Okay, I'll give you one of them that we've talked about this week. Then you give me the other four. All right, one of them we talked about is openness. Yes. Openness. Mm-hmm. I'm just singing this song while I give you some time to think about the other four. Mm-hmm. Oh, you'd rather I give you some music? Okay, here we go. That's it. Okay. What'd you come up with? What are the other four? Okay, I gave you the first one, openness. The other four are conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and then the other one, let me give you an either or, something that may be a little more palatable for you. Neuroticism is one way people put it. Some people just call it simply emotional stability. So you go with whichever one you want. Okay, so that's the first part of the quiz. What are the big five personality traits or personality factors? They are openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. Some people like to use the acronym OCEAN to help people remember what those big five are. OCEAN, openness. And the C stands for conscientiousness. The E stands for extroversion. The A stands for agreeableness. And the N stands for neuroticism. Those are the big five. Now, here's the second part of that quiz. And I know this will be really, really difficult for anyone who was not able to be with us on Saturday as we talked about this, but we're going to move forward because I know there are some people who heard it and they're ready for this quiz. They've heard me say pop quiz and they're ready for it. So here we go. The second part of the quiz is simply to explain what is meant by openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. I'm a little hesitant, reluctant using that word neuroticism, but that's what they use. So what is meant by each of those? You don't have to write a whole paragraph either. You don't have to write 7 or 8 sentences about each one. Just briefly describe what openness is about, what conscientiousness is about, what extroversion is about, what agreeableness is about, what neuroticism is about. All right, let me give you a few minutes to write that down, type it in, however you're going to do it. That was 1 minute. That was 1 minute. How'd you do? What'd you come up with? It was just a brief description of each one of those factors. Openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, neuroticism. What'd you come up with? All right. Openness basically has to do with how open you are. There's your word, open. To what, though? How open you are to new experiences. If you're high in openness, you like trying new things. If you're low in openness, you're more comfortable with what's familiar. Now, you know one of the things that I'm wondering about. When you're single, it can be kind of easy to decide whether you're going to, you know, be really open to new experiences or closed to new experiences. Now, even being single, though, remember now, we're with our families, right? And so family members sometimes want to go on vacations. Sometimes it's not even vacation. There's something right there in town that they might want to check out. And it may not be going to a movie theater. It may be doing something that the family's never done before. Did you go with them? Did you check it out? Did you try to enjoy it? Now, it may be, you know, maybe a little easier to say to mom, dad, siblings, I'm not so sure I'd enjoy that. I really don't want to go. Okay. Mom and dad might say, okay, well, you stay home, depending on your age and some other things, some other considerations. Or they may say, no, you're going to have to go with us anyway. Try it. You might enjoy it. You might really have a lot of fun. Okay. I'll go. And you go. And other times you may go kicking and screaming. You wanted to stay home. You just weren't looking forward to this at all. Well, what about when you're no longer going to be single, but eventually, let's say 8 months from now, a year from now, you're going to be married. And of course, the hope is that both partners will do what they can to help make that marriage truly beautiful. Very, very fulfilling for both partners. You know, we're talking about letting some of life's best moments come through you. And so if the wife is doing what she can to make some of life's, to allow some of life's best moments come through her, her husband is benefiting. If the husband is working to let some of life's best moments come through him, the wife is benefiting. So guess who's benefiting from that approach to the marriage? They both are, exactly. They're both benefiting from that whole approach to their marriage. Each of them allowing some of life's best moments to come through each of them to the other. Would you say that there's a possibility that the stakes get a little bit higher when it comes to being willing to try something new when you're talking about building a relationship with a spouse? Do you think that there should be a little bit more incentive to go ahead and try something that's new, even if you think you won't enjoy it? You know, as long as it's not illegal, unethical, immoral, etc. But just something that, I never would have thought about doing this. What do you suppose? Okay, so openness. How open you are to new experiences. Conscientiousness. What is that about? That focuses on how dependable you are and how orderly you are. If you're high in conscientiousness, you like to be punctual and you like to keep your living and working spaces tidy. If you're low in consciousness, you don't get uptight about deadlines and you're comfortable in your cluttered environment. And this is where it can get kind of tricky too, because again, we're talking marriage, so we're talking relationship, right? We're talking how we impact each other. And so, as I've shared with you before, the person who really likes having a neat, clean environment will be bothered by the environment being dirty and untidy. Whereas the person who is okay having a cluttered environment will more than likely also be okay having a neat environment. I'm just putting that out there now. So that's what conscientiousness is about. How dependable you are and how orderly you are. Extroversion. What is that about? It has to do with how outgoing you are. And that's something that a lot of people have focused on for a long, long time. Extroversion. How outgoing you are. If you're high in extroversion, you like socializing with lots of other people. If you're low in extroversion, in other words, if you're introverted, you like having time to yourself. Let me tell you something that used to just kind of throw me for a loop with this extroversion and this introversion thing. It threw me for a loop as a child when I first heard it, and it still throws me for a bit of a loop today when I hear it or see it. And that is extraversion, introversion. I, for some reason, I really wanted both of them to have the O in there. So I wanted to be extroversion instead of extra. E-X-T-R-O instead of E-X-T-R-A. Extraversion is the word. I wanted it to be extroversion to kind of match better. Introversion. I-N-T-R-O. I figured, hey, if it's a better match, introversion, extroversion, it'll be easier for me to remember. I guess that's what my thinking was. But that's not it, ladies and gentlemen. No, it's not extroversion. It's extra. Extra, extra. Read all about it. Extroversion versus introversion. And if you're low in extroversion, in other words, if you're introverted, you really like having time to yourself. Do you find that there may be a need for balance there? Especially if one spouse really likes socializing a lot and the other spouse really prefers a lot of alone time or just the two of us time. Think they might need to work to find a compromise there? All right, agreeableness. That one's almost a giveaway, right? I'm pretty sure that a lot of you got that one down in that 1 minute that you had. It has to do with, just as you concluded, how well you get along with other people. If you're high in agreeableness, you're easygoing, and you're pretty much happy doing what everyone else is doing. But if you're low in agreeableness, you've got to have things your way no matter what the rest of us want. And I tell you something else that's bad about that being low in agreeableness. Not only is it a situation where someone has to have things their way no matter what the rest of the people want, they've got to have things their way no matter what problems it causes for other people or even for themselves. Right now, this is what I want. This is what I will get pleasure from right now. This is what I'll get fulfillment from right now. And I'm interested in what's happening right now. And so I'm going for what I want right now. I could care less about problems, ramifications down the road. Right now, I want what I want, and I'm going for it. Not a good idea to be low in agreeableness. And then fifthly, neuroticism. How did you describe that one? I really gave that one to you before I started the clock, because I was sharing with you an alternative way that people word it. Because, you know, I conceded that, you know, you're talking neuroticism, that may not feel too good. You know, especially you're getting ready to take a test and you wonder, a personality test, and you're wondering, I got a test for neuroticism, so they're going to tell me I'm neurotic? Well, neuroticism has to do with how emotionally stable you are. If you're high in neuroticism, and see, that's the good news, you can be high in neuroticism. But that's not a good thing. I'm messing with you. That's not a good thing. If you are high in neuroticism, as many of you suspected, that's not a good thing. You experience big mood swings, and you can be quite temperamental. However, and this is where it gets good, if you're low in neuroticism, your mood is relatively stable, and you pretty much live your life on an even keel. So, you got the five, the big five. We talked about what they are. And I wanted to give that to you from the beginning so that as we talk about them, you know, you have a good idea of where we are with regards to these big five personality traits or personality factors or personality dimensions. OCEAN. And that stands for what? There you go. Openness, conscientiousness. Okay. All right, I hear you loud and clear. We will do that then. Some of you want to test again to see how well you do with it. I'm going to go ahead, since you want to do it now, I'm going to test you now. I'm going to test you again at the end, too, to see how you do. All right, but here you go. I want you to give the big five again, the big five personality traits. And big five personality traits and a brief description of what each one is. Here we go. Keep going. 10 more seconds. Keep going. Three more seconds. Come on, get one more down. That's it. Time's up. How'd you do this time? Better? Openness, conscientiousness, agreeableness, extroversion, and neuroticism. So when we come back, we're going to be taking a look at what they found out, what the psychologists found out about marriage and personality. And you know what we're going to be looking at? Here's the question again. Does marriage tend to have an impact on the personality of the married couple? What would you say? No change? Some change, whether a little or a lot. We'll check it out in just a few.